Welcome to Natural Moms Talk Radio. My name is Carrie Louth. I am your host, and this week on the show I'm talking with Dr. Charlotte Resnick, PhD, author of The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. Hi, Dr. Resnick.
Hi, Carrie. Great to be speaking with you.
Yes, it's nice to talk with you, too. I'm enjoying the book very much. I'm about halfway, you know, finished with it, and when I heard about the book, I thought, what an awesome way to really connect with your child and help, you know, help them to solve their problems. Sometimes, you know, we want to step in and make everything better, and sometimes that's a mistake, and other times we don't know what to do to help our child with, you know, a problem they're struggling with or a physical ailment or something, and to equip them with tools that can help them, you know, for the rest of their lives is awesome for parents. So
yes, right in their imagination, right inside.
Yes. So first of all, would you tell us a little bit more about you and who you are and your background, and then we'll delve into the book a little bit.
Sure. I'm living in L.A. now, although I'm a New Yorker by birth, and I'm a child educational psychologist, and I'm also an associate clinical professor at UCLA in the graduate school in the psych department, and although I went to USC, so I have both sides covered. And I've been working with kids for a long time, long time, and my desire, my passion has been helping them be okay no matter what's going on around them. And I started out working in the inner city where it was quite stressful and challenging, and now my practice is with middle-class, upper-middle-class kids, and I find that all kids have stresses and concerns and need a little extra support in reaching their potential and doing the best they can and feeling happy and healthy inside. So I really believe that they have the answers with a little bit of help from us to guide them.
Yeah. Absolutely. So in your book, you talk about you know, how you came to an appreciation for visualization and guided imagery. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
The funny thing is, when I was studying at university, I studied psychology and art. So I'm kind of a visual person by trade. But I was really touched when I was hearing the results at a conference for another school district where they found that when they taught kids relaxation skills using their imagination and did it over a period of time, that they found that the kids' grades went up on standardized scores and the behavioral referrals went down in the office. And so I started applying it to the kids I was working with. And it was pretty amazing. And so over time, I sort of honed what I call 9 imagination tools to help the kids go inside, check with their inner wisdom, bring in, say, guides, imaginary animal friends or wise people or wizards, receive gifts from them, check with their heart wisdom, their belly wisdom, and sort of learn what helps them. And everyone's unique, but I find that the tools are a core basis. So it's kind of like if you got the tools, then you could kind of use it in many, many situations with everyday problems.
Okay, and, you know, children are so in touch with their imagination anyway, you know, much more than we adults. They're much more open to that. So tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the tools specifically that are mentioned in the book that parents can use, you know,
sure,
with their
kids.
Sure,
the first one, which is the basis, well, I call it balloon breath because it's an easy visual. You sort of breathe about 2 to 3 inches below your belly button, and imagine there's a balloon in there. So you breathe in slowly, and then you breathe out slowly and the air flattens out. And the reason you do that is because that centers you and calms you, and it helps the kids respond rather than react. So the first step is going inside. And then when they're inside, I really like them to imagine a safe, special place. It could be a respite from stresses of life, but it's also a place where they could do their inner work. And they could imagine a place that could be outside, inside, where whatever makes them happy. Some kids imagine being at the beach. Some imagine being in their bed under the covers. It doesn't matter. As long as they're there, they feel happy and safe there. And then once they're there, then they call in some extra help. And the reason I do this is because if you ask a child a direct question, they might say, I don't know. But when you ask them to imagine an animal friend, what would your animal friend tell you, then it sort of bypasses those defense systems. Like one little girl is having a very difficult time sleeping. She imagine, and you ask her, well, why can't you fall asleep? She, I don't know, my mind is racing. But she imagined a unicorn coming to her and giving her a gift of a sleeping potion. And she's supposed to sprinkle it on her head and say, falling asleep. Whereas another boy, he was afraid of falling asleep. He thought people were going to break into his house. He imagined a giant white dragon that wrapped himself around his bed to protect him. And that made him feel safe. And in fact, he said, you know, my fear is from my imagination, so I have to go into that imagination realm to fix it. So the idea is that they have, with just a little bit of, you know, a faith in themselves, they have those answers inside them. Or maybe when things are a little tougher, they might call in a wizard. With Harry Potter, everybody's into wizards. So one boy who was having trouble with spelling, he was getting like 27 words wrong in a spelling dictation paragraph. He imagined a spelling wizard.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
The spelling wizard would clean out his brain and shine it up and get it ready to learn and absorb the words and help him with flashcards and whisper the answers in his ears. And after a few months, his errors went down to 3 or 4, which was a major improvement over the 27. And it built up his confidence so that when he did study, he was able to absorb the information more.
Yeah, I remember reading that in the book. Tell us about some of the testimonials that you've received with, you know, children who are experiencing physical pain.
Oh, with physical pain. Well, the kids, you mean like headaches and stomach aches?
Yeah.
So when I walk into a classroom, I'll ask the kids, how many of you have headaches and stomach aches? And mostly everyone raises their hands. So the idea is that you can help yourself with pain. One, if you distract your mind, that really helps. I have this 3-question exercise that really works well with pain, for example, with headaches. And you ask what color, you do your breathing, and you ask what color is the headache, what shape is the headache, and how heavy is the headache.
Mm.
And then you do your balloon breath. And then you ask again. So you sort of do it in rounds. And what happens is that it starts out being black or red, sharp, and very heavy. And over the course of 3 or 5 minutes, it generally usually turns rounder and softer and lighter and maybe to blue and white. And then you could just imagine sending the rest of the pain out of your head. Or you have a dialogue. You have a conversation with the headache and you ask, what more do I need to know or do to let go of the rest of the pain? And your headache or your stomach ache will speak to you. One girl had a very... would get terrible cramps because her parents were sort of about to get divorced, although they weren't talking about it. And she imagined a swirling rainbow. And so she breathed that into her stomach ache, and that soothed her. So everyone's a little bit different, but they could use their imagination to ask what their pain needs.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm trying to think of, you know, which tool that I could use with my youngest child. She has been having issues with waking up a lot at night. And, you know, right now I'm about halfway through a pregnancy. This will be the 6th child in our home. And it's real important to me that she sleep good right now.
How old is she?
She was 4 in September.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've had some changes in our life for sure. I mean, a remarriage, you know, 6 months ago. But this only started becoming an issue maybe about 2 or 3 months ago. So I can't really even, you know, if I'm going to put blame somewhere, I couldn't even blame it on that.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if it's just a little developmental, you know, step back before a leap forward, but it is getting to be, you know, a little bit difficult for me, really needing my sleep during the pregnancy and, you know, certainly when the new baby comes. So I need to...
That triggers a lot of little issues for kids when new babies arrive.
Right.
And some kids, of course, react differently, but she might be getting a little anxious about
yeah.
it. And
yeah.
what that's for, you know, sometimes I'll even call it the balloon breath. I call it the rainbow breath because
mm-hmm.
four-year-olds are really familiar with the rainbow.
She's been asking me a lot about rainbows lately, just incidentally. That's a odd coincidence.
I don't know why. It's like a typical, it's like a very popular
yeah.
concept around that age.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and the rainbow has all the colors, which are so soothing. And so she could breathe in a rainbow filled with love, and fill her whole body up with love and spread it out. You know, and she could, if she's lying in bed, she could sort of, before she comes into your room, for example, she could breathe in that rainbow of love and fill up her whole body and then see if she could send it past her physical body. And could she send it out, you know, a foot out? Could she fill the whole room up? And while she's concentrating on that, she'll probably fall back asleep.
Mm.
Because you're giving her something positive to be doing. Now, a lot of kids, I have to say, listen to my CDs to help them fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have it set so if they wake up, they have to put on their, they have to press the button to put the CD back on. And sometimes that works. You know, it depends
mm-hmm.
how many kids are sleeping in the room. And sometimes it doesn't. But she could use her imagination and, you know, okay, before you come into mommy, you know, breathe in your rainbow and see how far it could go and send it out to the whole room. And also what she could do, because she might be missing you, is imagine sending her love, and you could do this during the day when you're both awake, sending love from her heart to your heart. What color would she be sending you? Pink. And then what color are you sending her back? Purple. And then you practice, like, can you really imagine that beam of light going so you're connected from your heart to her heart, and she could feel connected to you even though she's in another room. And if you practice during the day, you know, okay, sitting next to her and then being in another room, then she'll get the hang of it.
Okay, that's cool. I'm thinking, too, you know, maybe in the morning I could ask her, did you feel the love that I sent you? You know, I was thinking
right.
about you. Mommy woke up and, you know, went to the bathroom, and before I went back to sleep, I thought about you and sent you that purple love because that's
yes.
your favorite color.
Right. Okay. See, there you go.
Yeah. So we can find your CDs on your website. I've just found it at imageryforkids.com.
Yes. And
okay.
That's F-O-R for the four.
Right. Okay. And I see your Twitter links here. I'm following you on Twitter. You're at imageryforkids.
Right.
All righty. So tell us a little bit more about the CDs that you offer.
You know, I found over the years it's so helpful for the kids to have a soothing voice. So I've created different CDs depending on the situation with sort of a very soothing voice and music in the background, which is very healing. And I kind of did a progression. One was Discovering Your Special Place. And these are wonderful to listen to before you go to sleep or during the day when you want to take a rest. And then there's another one, Creating a Magical Garden in a Healing Pond. And that was actually used in a study at a couple of children's hospitals with teens that had spinal surgery, and they found that the kids that listened had less pain and were more relaxed than the kids that didn't. And even though I created it just from a group of kids who were having like a headache, a stomach ache, and a canker sore, and we just created that idea, of course the headache was gone, the stomach ache was gone, the canker sore didn't hurt. But it's very helpful for any kind of healing, emotional or physical. And the idea of the garden is a metaphor for growing healthy and strong. So it's wonderful for just a positive idea of growing your child or growing inside healthy and strong. And then there's Climbing a Mountain of Success, which is very dear to me because years ago when I was working in the inner city, I had the kids imagine themselves. The idea is mountain is like life, but that you have an animal friend to help you with the tools. And when you get to the top, you're successful. And years later, a girl tracked me down and said, you know, she was a student body president. Now, whenever I'm on stage, I think about that image of me on top of the mountain of success. And that was so, so helpful for her to hold on to over the years, just like for your daughter holding on to that, connecting with you with love, the light of love. And then because the book is so dear to me, there are many guided journeys in the book, and I've created one for the parents because you need appreciation and support, and then one for the basic 9 foundation tools, and then one for all the other guided imageries from the book. So if parents don't want to use their voice or create something, they could always use mine.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm just, you know, kind of browsing through these audios, and I'm definitely going to order the nine tools one, because I think that would be helpful for my youngest, especially.
Yeah,
because
they're short. The nine tools is very short.
Yeah.
Just listen to one, you know, practice one week or one day and go on to the next one.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, my listeners, too, will definitely appreciate what you have to offer, because, you know, we're kind of already familiar with visualization. You know, any woman who's given birth has used visualization to aid herself, you know, with pain and with letting go and opening up and, you know, whatever that looks like for you with the different, you know, philosophies that exist. But we've all used that. We've all helped our children use their imagination. But in this real pointed and specific way, you know, to overcome specific challenges that our children are having, I think it's just wonderful that, you know, you've made these tools available to parents.
Thank you. Like for getting along with siblings or parents or friends, or learning to really care, love, and respect yourself, or doing better or feeling more confident in sports or academics, or like we talked about, sleeping or headaches or stomach aches. And all of these areas could benefit from the power of a child's imagination.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Resnick, thank you so much again for speaking with us, and you know, we really appreciate the information. And tell us your website again.
It's imageryforkids.com, and if people go there, they order the books online, there's 80 plus downloadable gifts that they could receive. And I also want to invite people, they could get the top 10 things that kids have told me they want and need from their parents just by signing up for the newsletter, and there's so much more to share.
Yeah, I enjoyed that too, reading that in the book. It's great. All right, thank you again. I appreciate this information so much.
Oh, my pleasure.